And this message is, yes, for parents, yes, for people who are raising children right now, learning to fly. I'm not using the song. There is a song, Learning to Fly. I don't remember who sang it. But I am going to be using the example of an eagle and what an eagle just naturally does. It's built into them in order to help their little ones, their little eaglets, do exactly what they were created to do. They were made for a purpose, and that purpose is to soar. And so we are made for a purpose as well. God created us for a purpose. And Solomon has some words for us in that way. And so I'm hoping you'll get something out of this if you're a parent doing that now. If you're not a parent, have never been a parent, as I said last week, I think God is also talking to us. We are also considered God's kids. He calls us sons and daughters. We're brothers and sisters. We call it Grace Church family. It's certainly all over Scripture, this idea of family. God is trying to help us, each one of us, be who He's called us to be as well. It's not just us who are raising children. We get to see that very clear as we raise our children, how God kind of does that same thing in our lives. So I want to use an eagle as the metaphor. We're going to start with that, and then we're going to hear what Solomon has to say. And then if you're raising children, and as I said, even if you've already raised them, you probably still have some kind of part to play. Daniel recognized Tim, his grandfather, in his life during his Eagle Scout ceremony because Tim didn't see his role being finished, but continued to invest not just in his kids who now have kids, but in the next generation of children as well. And so you have an opportunity to do that. Certainly, you have an opportunity to do that here at Grace. There's a whole bunch of kids out there that you still have the privilege of investing in. And Solomon's going to remind us of the importance of that and maybe some things we forgot about as we raise our children and as God works in our life as well. And maybe the eagle can help us learn and remind us that we were actually made to fly. And so this example was given at National Conference. Dr. Doug Buchwalter, when he was giving his presentation, mentioned this example, and I stuck it in the back of my mind because I knew I was going to be talking about something like this in June. And it was so fitting to me for what we have to do well as we raise children and what God does in our life also to help us fly. Just the natural example of the way God created an eagle. So this is Solomon's giving wisdom for life, whether you're a parent giving that wisdom or God's giving it to you and me as His children. I don't know if you've ever seen an eagle nest. They're very big. People could actually sit in an eagle nest, and they build them with not just little sticks, but with branches. They'll use rocks. They'll pick rocks up and build them with rocks. Obviously, you know they're built on high places. And the base of that nest is not very comfortable. Like I said, they use sticks, jagged sticks that can poke you, rocks that are jagged. They even use like thorns and things like that. They're grabbing stuff that makes the nest not very comfortable. But as the little eaglet is hatched and born, the mother puts fur, feathers, will even grab moss, put moss in there, and they'll make the nest as comfortable as possible for their little eaglet. And I don't know if you've ever seen eagles, if you've watched this on some kind of National Geographic show, or even, I don't know if they're still doing this, but at one time, it was very popular to put a camera on an eagle nest. I remember my mom was watching eagles, and they had a camera on the eagle when it had the chicks and the eaglets, and were watching all the time, and people were freaking out because, you know, a raccoon was climbing up there and was going to eat them. It's like, this is how it works. I don't know what you're freaking out about, but this is what happens. So you could actually watch an eagle do everything that I'm describing to you. And so if you've ever seen an eagle teach an eaglet how to fly, it's like they pick them up and they just toss them out of the nest. And it's a free-for-all. And then they go down and they catch them. They actually catch the eaglet. But the nest is an important part. The nest is there, and it's at a high place to protect the eaglet. It's there, and it's soft, and it's comfortable, and the majority of the hunting and feeding at first is done by the male, and then the female does that as well as they start to grow, and they don't chew up the food. They actually just give it straight to the eaglet, but it's the nest is the place where they learn how to be an eagle. And if you're learning how to be an eagle, an important part of being an eagle is flying. You're not really an eagle if you're not flying. There's something wrong with you if you're not flying and you're an eagle. And so that nest is really comfortable, but actually what the mother eagle specifically does to that nest is as they begin to grow, she starts actually taking the stuff out of the nest and starts tossing it over. So all the nice, soft, cushy thing of the nest, it's a wonderful place to grow. It starts disappearing. And now you got all the jagged sticks and the jagged rocks starting to poke you and prod you. And even thorns, if she's used thorns to build it, they start poking and prodding you. And the reason that she's doing that is because she doesn't want you to stay in the nest the rest of your life. You're supposed to fly. And so she actually creates discomfort in the life of the little eaglet to teach it, you need to fly. Because there is something very beautiful about watching an eagle fly. I was blessed when I went to the cabin this past Memorial Day weekend. My brother and I were down at the Pine Creek fishing. And while we're fishing, there's an eagle just kind of flying right across, pretty low. I was hoping it would grab a fish and pull it out of the water and watch it tear it apart and eat it. That would have been cool. There's something beautiful about an eagle being an eagle. But for our example, we're Jess is already getting sick. But for our purposes, let's just think about the eagle flying. If I would have been able to, I didn't realize it was coming when it did, if I would have been able to grab my camera out or my phone, I could have videoed it flying along because it's amazing. They're very big birds and top of the food chain when it comes to birds of prey. And when they are doing what they're made to do, soaring, it's a beautiful thing. And the way that the eagle teaches their young to do that is actually creating discomfort in their life to say, it's time for you to learn how to fly. It's time for you to be an eagle. So Solomon is giving us some wisdom here. And I want to use this example of an eagle to help us think through how we do that and what happens when we don't allow that discomfort. And what happens in our own lives when God doesn't allow that discomfort. Or maybe some of that discouragement that we've felt or dissatisfaction with something. Maybe the message we're getting from God isn't the one God's trying to teach us. Maybe he's teaching us something about the fact that we're not really soaring or flying the way he's created us to be. And so Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 9 is another piece of instruction. As I said, scholars list these out as lecture 1 through like lecture 10, 11, 12. I can't remember exactly how many lectures. We'll call them instructions because lecture sounds like a depressing word. So it's not a lecture. It's instruction. And he says, Solomon says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. This is the whole point of instruction. This is the whole point of helping people learn about life. That they would gain some kind of understanding. We talked about this last week, and we used the internal compass. The gaining understanding is so that you can read that internal compass so you don't get lost in life. And Solomon is saying the same thing. I give you sound learning. The word might be translated education. I give you a sound education, so do not forsake my teaching. He says, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. He spent some time in the nest as well. Solomon isn't just coming up with this teaching on his own, the instruction by himself. And the next verse, he's actually going to reference his grandfather. This teaching that he's giving, this instruction that he's giving, has credibility. It actually has what the word is that they would use as antiquity. Our ancestors helped to teach us. The path of life is not like we're just figuring out on our own. There's lots of people who have walked life longer than you have, longer than I have, and maybe we could learn something from that. That's why I love history. That's why I love reading biographies. That's why I love studying history, because people have been here before. It's not new. It's happened before. How did they figure it out? And how can that help us figure it out? God's given us that same message as well. I've figured out the path where you can be fulfilled in life because I've created it. That's why when we follow his ways, we actually experience life the way he intends it. And so Solomon is telling his son and sons, and really telling the next generation of people, that what I'm giving you, this instruction that I'm sharing with you, isn't just coming from me. When I was in that nest too, and I was trying to learn how to fly, it was taught to me. And the most important thing you can get is that reference point and gaining and understanding wisdom. And as we think of Solomon when he says, I was still tender and cherished by my mother, we can think of him sitting in that nice, comfortable nest. And he says in verse 4, then he taught me, and he said to me. Now he's talking about his grandfather. That's kind of the way that this passage is moving. Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. You will learn what it means to fly, and you're not just going to make it. You're going to soar. When you build all that you're going to do in life off of what I say, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake my words or turn away from them. Actually, you could translate that by wisdom, by understanding. The reason that the psalm or the Proverbs is speaking that way is because we're about to see wisdom personified as a bride. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. You know, part of being an eagle, and I'm just using an eagle as an example. You can look throughout the animal kingdom and how they teach their young how to live. And if they follow the ways of those who have taught them, others from their animal kingdom, they'll live. And she'll watch over you. If we actually hear wisdom, learn it, we watch it, we see it, and with everything we have, at any cost, we buy it, we get it. Solomon says, she will protect you, that is wisdom, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Solomon is basically saying there, though it cost all you have, get understanding. It might cost you everything, but there is nothing more valuable than understanding how to do life. Who is the one who has figured out how to do life? Well, I'm suggesting to you, God is that one. And now Solomon is saying, this is how you learn how to fly and soar. And it says, Solomon says, cherish her and she will exalt you, embrace her and she will honor you. She will. Now he's talking about wisdom here. The she is wisdom. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. He's trying to say there's nothing more important than understanding how to do life well. And we learn how to do life well first in that nest that's nice and comfortable. because you're young and you're tender and you need to learn. You don't know. I said last week, if you are saying to yourself, well, my child is 12, 13, and I don't want to push religion on them or Christianity on them, I said, you're doing it the wrong way. How are they going to learn? They don't know. My parents, part of being the job of a parent, like 80%, is just forcing your kids to do stuff. I went to church because my parents told me I had to go to church. There were definitely Sundays I didn't feel like going to church. But they said, if you do this, we are trying to set things out for you that's going to serve you well. And even when I wandered off that path, I knew exactly how to find it. And even in the Navy, when I had said I wasn't on that path that God had carved out, that God had laid, I had lots of signposts. Ted, you're getting lost. You need to get back on that path. And let me tell you, I was not soaring as I was intended to do. God made me to and created me for a purpose. And some hardships came up in my life. And I believe, and I can honestly say, that God used those discomforts to help me fly better. And that's part of what God, I believe, calls us to do. I think that's what Solomon is saying here in this piece of instruction. You know, life is difficult and it's challenging, and there's going to be some adversity in it. And we're not always going to have things easy at our fingertips. And if we're not careful, we're going to create a nest that becomes very difficult to leave. And the word I use, if I've been in groups with you, I've led life groups, you know, we've been in different settings, and I've used the word coddle. There's times that we are coddling our children, and we shouldn't be doing that. I think the eagle is a wonderful example of how we're able to allow those discomforts, those discouragements, those dissatisfactions, those disappointments in life are actually the things poking and prodding us to help us learn how to fly. Because we're not made to stay in that nest. We actually have a term for it now within our culture. Failure to launch. Have you heard that term before? There's a whole generation where we use the term failure to launch. They have not launched into life. They failed to do so. And now they're in their 30s and they are struggling with things that you would think by that time they'd be over. And there's a rejection of this teaching, this instruction, that doesn't just come from you and me. It actually comes from antiquity. My dad taught me and his dad taught him and his mom and dad taught him. And there were things that were learned about flying. It's the natural order of things. You don't stay in the nest. But we've been living in a culture where we've tried to cushion everything. It's like we're trying to create a bubble around ourselves or our kids, and they're failing to actually fly because we haven't prepared them well. And sometimes, maybe you're not raising kids, and you know, Ted, that's not me. Sometimes we've placed such a high emphasis on comfort in American culture and certainly in American Christianity that we don't see that the discomforts that we're feeling as Christians, and we say to ourselves, why would God allow this to happen? Maybe it's God saying, you aren't flying the way that I intended you to fly. Maybe God's seeking to get you to take that step out of the nest and begin to soar. We struggle in American Christianity with discipleship. Have you discipled anyone? Are you pouring into investing in anyone? And the answer to that question, sometimes maybe it's daunting. I'm not sure I can. Maybe it's discomforting because when you begin to invest in someone else, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes shouldering those burdens, it takes sacrifice, it takes giving up some things that aren't super comfortable. But maybe God's calling you to do that. You know, as I said, we're the ones who are in charge of what the next generation looks like and how we help them learn how to fly. And if our mode of operation is simply creating cushions and making the nest so comfortable they never want to get out of it, we're going to have a lot of eagles that don't even know why they were made or created, and not actually living and soaring the way that God made them to do. And the beautiful thing it is when they do that. I say to myself, and you know, I'm in lots of different settings in ministry. I talk with other pastors all the time. I'm in other countries. One of the amazing things that I see in other countries, when I'm in Nepal and when I'm in India and when I'm in Liberia, it is inspiring to see how many 20-somethings are in that church. The entire conference that I was a part of in Nepal was all led by their youth department. When I was in Liberia, they have a gigantic choir of 20-somethings. And each service I participated in India, the very beginning part of the service was some kind of presentation by the youth. And one of the things, you can read any of the statistics, any of the trends, one of the questions being asked of the church in America is it the missing generation? Where are they? Where are the 20-somethings? Where are the 30-somethings? And when was the last time you invested in one of them? When was the last time you poured into a younger family? It's not always comfortable, believe me, I know. There's a double-edged sword with giving everybody your cell phone number. Everybody has the opportunity to text you and call you. And that creates a burden. You know, I take the prayer requests that people send to me seriously. I take the texts that I get that say, hey, Ted, can you meet up with me seriously? I take the opportunities I get to speak into people's lives seriously. And one of the things in the front of my mind is I don't want to take away all the discomforts that God's trying to use, all the discouragements that God's trying to use to help you see you're not flying the way he's called you to fly. And it's important for us, if you are parenting right now, to realize the most important thing we can give our children is not comfortability, is not job security. It's not a great education. It's the true north compass point and preparing them to soar, to fly on their own. At any cost, giving them the wisdom, the learning, the sound teaching that God has laid out and say, follow this and you will find life. Follow this and no matter what you do, you will soar. You'll fly like God intended you to fly. But sometimes that takes the sharp sticks and jagged edges of the rock to get you out of the nest, to soar and to fly. There is no amount of treasure. There is not a too high of a price to get wisdom. So I want to ask you, how are you doing with allowing those sharp edges, those jagged sticks, to help your child fly? How are you doing as a grandparent and allowing those sharp, jagged edges to allow your grandchild to fly? Why are we missing? That's a big question I ask myself all the time in pastoral ministry. Why are we missing this generation? Because the problem then becomes they come through Ted's office because of some kind of tragedy, because of some kind of destruction that has taken place in their life, and we're trying to pick up all the pieces and put it all back together. And thankfully, we serve a God who restores and renews and revives. But it doesn't have to be that way, Solomon says, if we choose to build all of our life off of this, understanding God and his ways and putting into practice. And sometimes God and his ways uses discomfort and discouragement and dissatisfaction to point us in a direction that he wants to take us. God's not only doing that, and we're not only doing that in our kids' lives, but maybe he's doing that in my life. The line that I always think about when I think about difficulties in life and people saying, why would God allow this? Why would God allow that? I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but it's a Seinfeld episode and a Seinfeld quote. I don't know if this is sad. I wonder if Jesus is going to like take me to task for the amount of quotes I've used in church with Seinfeld. George is sitting in a therapist's office, and he is riding the pilot, and they're like thinking, we're going to be successful, we're going to be rich, Jerry and I are creating this television show, and he's riding the pilot, and he goes to the doctor, and he's got this white discoloration on his lip, and the doctor's like, I don't know what that is. And so George is convinced that it's cancer or it's something bad. So he's talking to his therapist about this, and his therapist says, well, I thought you didn't believe in God. And George says, well, I don't. I only believe in God for the bad stuff. If something bad is happening, then I believe in God. And sometimes I think when we operate, maybe we don't say that, but we experience discomfort, discouragement, dissatisfaction, and we blame God in some way. God, why are you doing this? But maybe God is taking out some of the soft stuff to poke at us a little bit to say, because you're not flying the way that you could, the way that you ought to fly. I want you to soar. And it's beautiful when that happens. And it's beautiful to see it happen in our own kids. And I think God gets a smile on his face too when his kids fly the way he intends. What's God calling you to do? What discomfort is in your life that God wants to use to redirect you? And the question I have, and I'll be a little bit more direct about this next week, what investment are you making in that person's life? Maybe a grandchild, maybe it's somebody here at Grace Church. Not for Tessa and Ryan, they didn't grow up here, but certainly for Eve and for Julie and for others who will stand up here at graduations and will celebrate and recognize, what kind of investment did you make in their life? Yeah, there might be some discomfort. One of the most discouraging things that I, as a pastor, is the amount of energy and investment I pour into people, and I see them making the same mistakes. But that discomfort and that discouragement, I don't think is God saying you're doing something wrong. I think it's God saying, Ted, I experience that same thing when I watch you do that same stuff. This moment we have in our current time and history and culture is a moment that we can help kids, help the next generation, help our children, help the children at Grace Church soar. Fly like they're meant to fly. And yes, maybe God will use some discomfort, dissatisfaction, discouragement to help you do that. Maybe he's doing it now. I don't know. But God is using that so we can do exactly what this eagle right here is doing. He has made us to soar, to fly. That is what he has done for human beings. The way that we do that is by following him in his ways. And the greatest thing we can do for our children and our children's children and the next generation is instill that in them. It's not about finding the best schools, the best job, having a nice home, getting a nice paycheck, being able to take the vacation we want to take. Solomon says, at all costs, there is not too high of a price to get wisdom and understanding. How are they going to learn that if we don't teach them? How are they going to know that if we don't start taking some of that stuff out of the nest to poke and to prod? Our job is to help our children and the next generation build their life on something that never disappears, that is everlasting, to build their life on Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for these truths that we hear from Solomon's words. And God, sometimes you use those discomforts in our life to teach us something. It's just the natural way of things. An eagle is made to fly. It's not made to live in a nest. And so, God, you built into eagles some things that we think may be absurd by making the nest uncomfortable, by actually tossing the little eaglet out of the nest and letting it free for all. But not by itself, not alone. Mom and Dad, they catch it and try again tomorrow. God, it's important for us to remember, to realize that you use all kinds of things. And in our current culture, when comfort and happiness seems to be the goal of our lives, God, help to remind us that you also choose to use those jags, those rigid edges, to help us to fly, to soar. God, I pray that you would help us and challenge us if we've not been doing the amount of investing that we ought to be doing because of the difficulty, the challenge, the discomfort we might feel, Lord. Maybe we've been afraid to take that step of obedience that you've called us to do that thing at Grace Church that we've left undone. Maybe to be in that person's life that we've not done yet. God, I pray that you would use those jagged edges to push us to get on the edge of that nest and to fly. God, the greatest thing we can do as parents and grandparents, as coaches and mentors, as a church family, is help this next generation build their life on Jesus Christ, on the teachings of God, on gaining wisdom at any and all cost and understanding, because in that way, they will find life. She will protect and guard you. We will experience the flourishing that you intended for us. God, I pray that you would help each one of us to fly as we live and build our lives on you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.